Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 18. Yes, we have officially announced it's back. Out of the Park Baseball 18 will be available March 24th, 2017. But if you pre-order it today, between now and January 27th, you'll get 20% off, you'll get early access, and you'll be entered into a contest that can get you into the game as a draft prospect. We are so excited about Out of the Park Baseball 18. There's so much cool stuff that we've added to the game this year. We've added a new challenge mode, 3D highlight reels of your games, tournaments, the Negro Leagues, and a whole lot more. And as I mentioned, if you order it today, you'll get a 20% discount, just $31.99 from the full price of the game, the $39.99. And this is, of course, Out of the Park Baseball 18, which was the follow-up to Metacritic's 2016 PC Game of the Year. So much good stuff happening in the game, as I mentioned. We'll obviously have the 2017 opening day rosters. We'll have 8 international leagues. We've got a new challenge game mode and online user profile so you can compare with other people what you've accomplished. We've got an improved 3D mode. We have game highlight reels, which is really fun. We got tournaments. We got fall leagues. A really special addition is the Negro Leagues have been added to the historical minor leagues, so you can really do some amazing what-if stuff, and I think a whole lot of people are going to love that. We've obviously got some improved AI. We've got a redesigned injury system. So much happening. Out of the Park Baseball 18, the follow-up to the Metacritic 2016 PC Game of the Year. If you order it any time between now and January 27th, you get 20% off. You get early access 4 days early from its March 24th release date. You get it on March 20th. And 5 randomly chosen customers who pre-order by January 27th will be added to Out of the Park Baseball 18 as draft prospects in our game. So go check it out, ootpdevelopments.com. Just go there. You'll see the big old banner for Out of the Park Baseball 18 and pre-order it. We're so excited. We know everybody that's a fan of the series is going to love it, and we hope that a whole bunch of people who have never played it before will play it. Get 20% off Out of the Park Baseball 18 coming March 24th, 2017.
Welcome everyone as we celebrate the 8th annual Pasta Padre Community Awards on this episode of the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host Brian Weedy, and with me is Rich Grisham. We're going to discuss the 12 categories in the awards, all the nominees, and the winners. And we're going to talk about what those results actually tell us about the games. Rich, welcome back. We've got a lot to reveal in this episode.
I'm excited. Another one of my favorite shows of the year. There's a lot of them. That's because I just love a lot of the stuff that we do. But this is another one of my favorite shows because it's not you and me talking. Well, it's you and me talking, but it's not you and me that are making the decisions. It's all of the people who go to Pasta Padre and go to Hit the Pass and listen to the show. The people decide. So it's great to see what they have to think.
Yep, and that's something I always like to track throughout the year, and then I kind of can also compare it to these results at the end of the year to gauge my efficiency and the reliability of how I'm reading kind of the temperature of the community. Now, these awards were designed to acknowledge achievements, not just in naming the best game, which anybody can do, but evaluating all the separate pieces that go into them, because sports games are incredibly complex. They rely on gameplay, presentation, unique modes, and all sorts of other elements to form the products that as consumers we now expect on a yearly basis. And no sports game does everything the best and probably never will. So it's important to recognize the aspects of each that they're excelling at, and also the developers responsible for them. And then you see how these things develop year to year as far as, wow, this is emerging as a game on the rise, or this is emerging as a feature set, type of features that are implemented, or modes, the direction they're going. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that there wasn't even an award for Ultimate Team Modes. Now we have the best team building mode award, and that's one of the biggest because that's one of the most played. So it's been interesting to watch the evolution of it all. Any final thoughts going into this, Rich, before I start with the categories?
Well, just that I feel like I've had an appreciation for many years on how difficult it is to make the sports games that we love so much. You know, even before I got into the development world in the recent past, you know, I've worked in the software industry in various industries for years. So I've got a lot of experience designing and developing and implementing and following up. But man, even so, this the last couple of years, especially, you know, with the move to the next generation consoles, and these games are so big and so complex. I have a deep appreciation for what all of these guys are doing and trying to do. And it's just, it's a great time to be a fan of sports video games on consoles. Heck, it's a great time to be a fan of sports video games on PC. It's a great time to be a fan of sports video games on mobile devices. There's a lot of good stuff going on. These guys try really hard. And like you said, nobody gets everything right. But man, there's just a lot of good stuff that we get to play these days.
Absolutely. So let's start with one of the big ones right out of the gate here, Rich, and that's best gameplay. And this is a category that's been dominated by NBA 2K. It's it had won 4 consecutive years for best gameplay. But the competitors here, the challengers, really kind of gained a lot of ground this year, and it made the category a lot more interesting. And actually, we had a change at the top, as MLB The Show 16 won the category with 44% of the vote. MLB The Show 16 wins best gameplay. It's the first time, actually, this might be a surprise to a lot of people, it's the first time that the show has ever won best gameplay. And I attribute that some to just the fact that it's an exclusive game on one console. It doesn't have the reach that other games do. It sells, you know, a sixth, an eighth, a tenth of what like the Maddens and NBA 2Ks and FIFA sells. So the fact that it's able to grab the award this year, I think, is telling not just how well-respected MLB The Show is around the community, but also that a couple other games maybe didn't hold up their end as well as they had in the past. So MLB The Show had 44%. NBA 2K17 had 32%. And Pro Evolution Soccer had 24%. So a good showing from Pro Evolution Soccer, actually, considering, again, there's another game that doesn't really have the reach in North America, Rich.
Yeah, you know, it's like you say, you got two of these three games are relatively small fries in the world of big-time sports video games. FIFA, Madden, and NBA 2K were all finished in the top 10 of NPD sales. I think NBA 2K was, I think, number 4. Madden was number 5, or maybe Madden was 4, and NBA 2K was 5, and then FIFA was a couple notches down. But no matter what, those are the big boys. So seeing the little guys, relatively speaking, of MLB The Show and Pro Evo get some love along with NBA 2K is cool. I mean, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit, and MLB The Show just feels great. Whether you're hitting, whether you're fielding, whether you're pitching, especially when you get the various control set up the way you like it, because it gives you a lot of different ways to do everything, a lot of different control styles to hit, to pitch, to field. It just feels great, plays great. I am delighted that it won Best Gameplay, and I can't argue with it. I mean, I personally might have gone Pro Evo, but I probably still might have gone MLB, right? I mean, they're that good. They're wonderful, wonderful mechanical gameplay experiences.
Yeah, and outside of really kind of fixable things like the over effectiveness of bunting and some animation issues, slow animations especially, it's hard to find a lot of gripes with the show. So where did that game pick up its extra percentages this year? Where did it come from that it was able to emerge and win the category? It came from NBA 2K's fall, which NBA 2K, like I said, had won several years in a row. But this year only got 32%. That's 29% lower than NBA 2K16 got as it won the award last year. And I think it's just reflective of some of the gripes that the community has had with NBA 2K16's gameplay and its post-release support in terms of patches and what that's done to the game.
True, but on the other hand, it still is number 2 in a strong field of great games. So there's a couple different ways to look at it. There's no shame in coming in second to MLB The Show this year. But certainly those aren't the kind of numbers that you want to see from an educated community, right? The people who voted in this are well-versed in NBA 2K and well-versed in sports video games. So these are the people that whose opinion you really respect the most. So concerning, but I'm not concerned long-term for NBA 2K. I've played it. I'm just, you know, it didn't grab me this year like it has in years past, but as people know, Pro Evo was the one that really did over the course of the fall after I was obsessed with MLB The Show from the spring and the summer. So, you know, I'm not concerned long-term with NBA 2K. Everybody can sort of have an up year or a down year, and heck, you know, with how well they're doing commercially, it'll take a lot to sort of really take NBA 2K off its, I think, what is still on a strong overall path. And I expect big things next year from NBA 2K.
Better news for NBA 2K was with the best presentation category, which NBA 2K, it could be named like the NBA 2K award here, because it's won every single year for best presentation. NBA 2K17 accounted for 60% of the vote. And the two runners-up, Madden and FIFA, basically split the other 40%. 2K17's share of the voting, however, similar to gameplay, not as sharply, though, it dropped by 13% compared to last year. It's just hard to see any game overcoming the lead that 2K17 has in presentation, which it's built up over the years and continues to just pile on the top. I mean, this year they added a bunch of announcers and that stuff that is very difficult for other games to kind of match.
Agreed. They are head and shoulders above the best, above the rest. And that's saying something, because I personally think FIFA is an incredible experience from a presentation perspective, particularly when you are playing a Premier League match in a Premier League season, with how they have the visuals and the overlays and the announcers and the stadiums and the crowds. So to beat FIFA in particular, I think, is very impressive. Madden continues to develop and slowly but surely increase their presentation. They're better now, and it really becomes evident. It's hard to tell year to year, but you play a Madden from 3 or 4 years ago, and then you play this year's, and it's kind of surprising. But yeah, NBA 2K is the best and continues to be the best. And you know what's funny is, for a guy like me, this is not an important aspect, because I quickly just XXX or AAA through the stuff to get to the games. You know me, Brian, I'm all about playing the game. Yeah. It's nice to have it, but I mean, I skip through all of this stuff no matter what it is, because I'm just so obsessed on, let's just play the game, want to play the game. But I mean, it's a huge thing to a lot of people. I totally get it. And NBA 2K is a deserving winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I don't see how anyone overtakes it with 1 year development cycles when they have limited resources, limited time, that it's so far out in front. That no one really seems to be even close. I mean, there are some good things being done in all sorts of games. Madden, The Show, yeah. FIFA. They're doing good, unique, innovative things in certain areas. But as a whole package, NBA 2K is just way ahead of the pack still.
Agreed.
Moving on to a category that is dominated by Madden NFL and its best online play. And Madden has now won this award for 6 consecutive years. It's consistent online performance, the fact that it has the best online franchise, that there's a bunch of different ways to play between Ultimate Team, Head-to-Head, Draft Champions, Salary Cap. There's really no sports game NBA 2K might match it in terms of feature set and unique ways to play, but Madden's online performance has kept it above the pack. The challenge this year actually came from Rocket League, which is impressive considering it's in its second year. It got 37% of the vote, Rich.
And it is an online-only game, and so it darn well better have the best online play. So I play Madden online. That's all I play, right? I mean, I guess some of the games in our leagues are against the CPU, but they're still technically online.
Yeah.
And, I'm totally cool with this. Madden has invested and banks a lot of its success on its online play, obviously mostly, as you mentioned, for Ultimate Team or for the Draft Champions, but also, continuing to promote their Madden Bowl championships and stuff. Like, they're all about the online community, the online gameplay. So they do a great job. You know, NBA 2K is worlds better than it was just a couple of years ago, and MLB The Show is worlds better than it used to be, as these games have to be because online is so crucial. But for my money, Madden provides the best overall online experience, and for me, it's also in almost all because of their continued investment and support of online leagues, which remains my favorite way to experience a sports game.
Yeah, and as I said, 6 consecutive wins for Madden, and it's actually the 7 out of 7 for EA Sports, as the only other game to win in this category was, rest in peace, NCAA Football, Rich, which again was another online franchise, or technically online dynasty, was a big reason for that back then.
That's right.
Best mobile game. This is always an interesting category because there are literally like hundreds, if not thousands, of sports mobile games, going from everything from the super simple to licensed games. And it's always difficult to narrow down to a few candidates, but it's necessary. Otherwise, you have a giant list and every game gets 1%. It doesn't really tell you anything. So the 3 candidates this year were... MLB Manager 2016, with Rich, you are associated with, disclaimer.
That's true. Yes. Yep.
Photo Finish Horse Racing, which came from, it was built by Ian Cummings, former Madden creative director, is behind that game.
And our good friend.
Yes, absolutely. Disclaimer. And NBA Live Mobile, no disclaimers necessary on this one, which was just a really good transition of the brand to mobile, where it's an ultimate team type game, free to play in theory, and you can spend money on it. But the gameplay on that I found to be actually pretty good, and in many ways better than the last few console editions of NBA Live. So all 3 of these games, well regarded in the mobile space by fans, by reviewers. And it was a very competitive category. I think from first place to third place, only separated by 8%. So all three games were in the mix here. Photo Finish Horse Racing is the winner, though. So congratulations, Ian. Got 37% of the vote. MLB Manager, which is the mobile version of Out of Park Baseball, got 34%. NBA Live Mobile, 29%. And what I thought was interesting about this category, besides it being close, was these are kind of 3 different models for how sports games or really mobile games are handled these days.
Totally. And
you had the free to play Photo Finish Horse Racing. You advance along as you complete tasks and improve your horses and breed and get new horses and continue on into higher ranks. You had MLB Manager, which if I remember correctly, it's an upfront. You're actually buying the game up front.
That's correct.
Which is different than most of these free-to-play games these days. And again, it uses the same sim engine as the PC game. And then NBA Live Mobile, which was that ultimate team model transferred over, which has proven successful with Madden and FIFA also on mobile.
Yeah, well, first of all, Brian, thank you for including MLB Manager in this list. You and I did not talk about or collaborate on this or any of these other ones. So thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. You know, if we had to losing our good friend and good guy, Ian Cummings, who has literally from scratch created his experience and has had what looks like tremendous success and has started his own studio and hired some people, like, that is such an inspirational story. And, you know, I hope he continues to get coverage from larger sites and maybe even, you know, somebody at either a major game site or even just a major site of any consequences smart enough to profile Ian and the incredible journey that he has been on. Like, there's very few people, no one that I know or can think of, that has done what he has done. So congratulations, Ian. So if we had to lose, then that's a guy that I don't mind losing to. But, you know, you took the words right out of my mouth. These are 3 very different experiences. You know, our MLB Manager game is a very deep, complex strategy simulation, which is built off of Out of the Park Baseball. It's a $5 game. For that $5, you get the ability to play a bunch of seasons with real players and real teams, but there's none of the additional free-to-play revenue. And in the world that we're in right now, that's a very difficult, very
unusual
sales model. Very difficult sales model. Whereas NBA Live and Photo Finish, as you mentioned, are free-to-play. So, but it's fun. It just shows you, again, the different experiences that you can get. If you want an old-school, you know, on-the-go experience that lets you play out-of-the-park baseball on your phone, basically, you know, in a lot of ways, that's what MLB Manager is. And if you just want to jump in and play something completely different, like you've never really played before, unless you're one of those guys who was playing those Konami horse racing simulators back in the PS2 days, you know, you get Photo Finish. And yeah, I mean, NBA Live Mobile, you know, our friend, you know, Daniel Basil, Uber YouTuber, has got a whole thing going on, as we've talked about with that. And, you know, I am very confident that it has kept the NBA Live brand alive and will probably be the cornerstone for the franchise moving forward. So great competition, great games. Happy that we were included. A little bummed out we lost, but if we got to lose to Ian Cummings and his great game, I'm cool with that.
Really great reviews for all three of them on the App Store. I was really taken aback when I looked at when I was setting it all up, and Photo Finish Horse Racing has you can't really tell if it's a perfect score. I'm sure it's not a perfect score, but it's a full 5-star rating on both the iTunes App Store and on Google Play. So it's cool to see that transfer over to the voting also, and people are into that game and into all three of them. So let's transition now to another important mode, and it's best franchise mode, Rich. And this
it's our wheelhouse right here, man.
Yeah, interesting. Franchise mode is really a fascinating one, because you have NBA 2K, which has two franchise modes. So how do you top a game that's got two really well-built franchise modes, one that is connected online, one that is completely offline? And then you have Madden, which, as we mentioned before, has the online franchise.
Yep.
And does it better than any other game even tries to do. And so really this was a two-horse race. There was another nominee, FIFA, but it hardly got any support. This was a two-horse race. NBA 2K wins for best franchise mode. It's the third straight year that it's won the award. Again, two different franchises, MyGM and My League, and it had the addition of major features, league expansion for both, and the start today, the ability to start with all the stats and records of the current day for My League. That was a decline, actually, of 13% from the previous year, though, and Madden, meanwhile, rose by 25%, and I'm not sure why. Maybe it's just a better feeling towards Madden in general, because Madden didn't do anything major. It added stuff like the ticker during games, and it revamped things like the the development characteristics, right? The pregame.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It revitalized a lot of that stuff, but wasn't anything huge to account for that, but Madden did close the gap quite a bit this year, and so but NBA 2K ultimately the winner.
Well, and the depth of NBA 2K's offerings, I think, are good reasons for doing that. You know, I spent a lot more time last year in NBA 2K's franchise, went through a year, played all the games, won a title. You know, traded a lot of players, went into the second year, did some more modifications, thoroughly enjoyed what it let me do. Also had some fun completely changing a league and playing in a league for a little while on my own with historic teams. Like the different things that you get to do blow away those that you can do anywhere else. And part of it is because I'm such a history nerd. You know, it's one of the reasons I joined up with Out of the Park Baseball, because there's so much history. But within the NBA, NBA 2K celebrates the history of the game. No other games that we talk about celebrate their history at all, with a slight exception of MLB The Show, which has, you know, a few of the individual legend players. But in NBA 2K, you've got these amazing historical teams that you can then bring into, you know, these fantastical worlds where you can have them compete against each other in these normalized ways in these leagues and stuff. And so I'm totally down with NBA 2K winning this, because they just continue to give you options. And, you know, we're just scratching the surface. Options that nobody else comes close to giving you.
Yeah. When they implemented the My League, the offline one, we talked about how nobody else is doing that. There, if anything, the other games are transitioning away from the franchise modes and implementing more in the way of the team building modes or the story modes. Nobody was doing anything, hardly anything, for franchise modes, and NBA 2K put another one in their game.
And they didn't have to. You know what I mean? No, they did not have to. It's not like they sold one additional copy probably because they did it. They just did it because they, as we've talked about, they listened to their fans, the development team, you know, the guys that we know, you know, like Scott O'Gallagher and Dazar and Mike Wang, and I mean, a lot of those guys, they are great at listening to their fans and doing what they can, right? I mean, they have limited resources. I'm sure there's a million things that they want to do, but they're great at listening to their fans and doing their best to get things into the game that serve those core fans, and My League is a fantastic example of that.
Yeah, very ambitious.
Yes.
Not everything always works, but you have to admire the ambition that's taken on by the developers there.
Exactly right.
So next, we got the best career now / story mode, because they're somewhat different things now. The typical career mode is not necessarily what you're getting in these games. Some of them also have the now narrative-driven story modes. So same category, and we had three nominees. We had the story modes from NBA 2K, which was coming off two straight years of wins in the category. The new story mode for FIFA 17 called The Journey, and MLB The Show's more traditional career mode of Road to the Show. The winner is FIFA 17's The Journey, which might be a mild upset in some people's eyes. But I really thought that the more grounded take on the story, the great production value, the acting, the dialogue was better than what we'd probably seen out of NBA 2K recently. 2K has its own benefits of the mode, but we also felt like this year it was a little bit more of a grind as far as having to do practices over and over and do certain tasks instead of just playing. And you couldn't skip those things. So really great result here for The Journey. In its first year, 45% of the vote. NBA 2K went from 60% in 2K16, again as the winner last year, and finished with 32% this time. MLB The Show got 23%, Rich.
We all go through various cycles in our lives of things that we like to do and don't like to do, not only in video games, but in everything, right? One of the things that I don't like to do anymore right now is play single-player career modes. I'm all about teams in my online leagues and franchises that we're in, or taking over an entire club over the course of 3 or 4 years. That's what I like to do. So I didn't play very much of The Journey. What I played, I thought was okay. It didn't do anything magical for me. As we've talked about for years, you know, I've played enough Road to the Show until and unless it's something very different, I don't need to do it again. And with NBA 2K, we've chatted about how it just didn't work for me this year because of the reasons that you listed. Although, you know, as we saw when we talked about it last time, our good friend Keith pointed out that he thought that we were wrong with how easy or difficult it is to get the points. And you know that Keith plays the game, right? So, but it just
there are like glitches you can do to get up there pretty quickly. Although I think they closed some of them off. But wonder if he's referring to that or legitimately going about it, because that takes a long time.
Right, and that's fine. Again, like some people really like that. I'm not knocking that. It's just for me, I just have not been on the single player career mode for several years, and I'm very happy that they did the journey with FIFA, because if there is something that's going to sort of take my attention, it's going to be something like that. But honestly, Brian, when I'm having so much fun playing as a team because the controls are so good and the experience is so good, you know, and that's why I like these sports anyway. You know, it's just like for me personally, there wasn't a whole lot going on in these modes that grabbed me. But who knows? Over the course of the next couple of years, I might kind of get tired of doing the franchise for a couple, 2 or 3, 4 years in a row. I might want to sink my teeth back into one of these things. So just one of those things. You know, we're all like doing different things at different times sometimes.
So Road to the Show hasn't really evolved over the years. It's basically been the same mode for a decade now, but it's still got 23%, which is pretty good.
Well, people love it.
Do you feel like they need to do something different with it? I mean, they are adding some mild, at the very least, mild off the field type of elements, dialogue elements too, that we've seen in the trailer for MLB 17. But do you think it has to be something radical or just minor tweaks again? Okay.
The short answer is no, they don't really need to do anything radical. Now, the reason I say that is because, number one, the amount of time and effort and energy that it would take to do something radical to Road to the Show, I don't even know if it is legitimately possible or plausible. It's certainly over a one-year development point. Now, maybe will they sort of take 3 or 4 years and say, okay, over the course of that amount of time, we're going to build towards something amazing? Possibly. You know, but knowing what I know about making these games, to do something radical is such a challenge. And if you can't point to a significant spike in new sales or to a material increase in additional revenue through DLC, just from a business plan perspective, it's very hard. In addition, I get the sense, like, you know, our friend Sumit Sarkar, right? He just loves Road to the Show, and he plays it every single year. Just like I love to start a new franchise or start a new season with the Mets and go from there and play my 162 games, right? I think the audience is still there for that. I'm sure there's plenty of people who are feeling like they would look for more. I just don't think a radical change is plausible. Now, if we take that out of the mix, would I like to see something completely different? I would love to see the MLB The Show equivalent of playing The Natural or playing the I forget the name of the movie, you know, where the guys come out of the cornfield. What was that movie?
Field you know of what Dreams. I'm talking about.
Right, yeah. Field of Dreams. Like, you know, we're talking something radically different. Like, it doesn't need to be a 20 or 40 hour experience. Just like something completely different that can be sort of experienced in a relatively short amount of time, that is just almost like, you know, a true story mode or something, but it doesn't need to be this massive, you know, 15 or 20, you know, year career or something like that. And that's the thing that I could see. I would just be like, well, now, wow, yeah. Now they got my attention. That's sort of, I think, what they were looking for with the journey to some degree.
Yeah.
So, but I'm thinking even more impactful and much shorter, you know, just a couple, 2 or 3 hours, something totally different. That is something that I'm sure I would love to experience. But again, the legitimacy of being able to do something like that, especially with a game like MLB The Show, where it's so deep and complex and the team is relatively small, it would be tough. But that's where I would, you know, if I had my druthers, if I didn't have to worry so much about prioritizing 194 different things, that's something cool I'd like to check out.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you on all of that. I think why you see it as NBA 2Ks has gotten so bloated is because it's not isolated as its own mode. They use that as the introduction, as the for the development of your player that you then take onto the park or in pro-am. So it's got that that secondary hook to it that they want you to spend time there and lead you into time elsewhere where you might spend money. So different approaches. Depends on preferences there.
Yep.
One of my favorite categories is for best post-release support, Rich, because there are a lot of websites that cover lots of things. And one thing they don't do is follow games after they release. They'll write previews, they'll write a review, and then they'll come back to the game the next year. I think just as important as the release product is the support a game, or almost as important as the support that a game gets after release. Fixing issues, adding content, all of that, that consumers don't get abandoned, that they feel like they're being listened to, and developers are responding. Best post-release support this year, the nominees were Madden NFL 17, EA Sports UFC 2, and Rocket League. Madden had won the award last year, and EA Sports UFC had won the award the year prior. So two returning champions, so to speak, from the past. And Rocket League, a new entrant here, it was nominated last year but didn't win. So these are three games that really have a history of great support. The winner was Madden NFL 17 with 58%. It's the second largest margin of victory in all of the awards. Madden really has just done a great job, not just weekly roster updates, but they have the weekly commentary updates. They've added features. They've added new ways to play. They are constantly putting new stuff into Ultimate Team. They are addressing issues in gameplay or you know, making tweaks regularly through tuners and the patches. And they're just very responsive to consumer requests and actually delivering on them. And I think that it's great that they get recognized for that here.
Well, they're so good at it, they killed T.J. Lauerman, or at least they killed that sports gamer, because T.J. just got overwhelmed with the amount of content that Madden Ultimate Team kept pushing out to him.
That was a concern I had expressed over the years, actually, that it's just it gets overwhelming at a certain point. There might be too much, and we'll lead into that discussion in the next category, but continue on with your thoughts, Rich.
Well, my point is that, you know, if you want to really just play one game anymore, and in particular if you want to play an Ultimate Team, you can get so much, because these games and these development teams are just making sure that there is never a dull moment. There is a regular constant flow. Every time I go to Pasta Padre, I'm always able to say, oh, here's all the new stuff that happened, here's all the new stuff that happened. And it's not just Madden, it's all the games, some of them more than others. I think TJ mentioned they even had MLB The Show was delivering new content at the end of December, right, with a whole bunch of stuff. So
yeah, still are, yeah.
Yep, they're all good. They're all doing, relatively speaking, what they need to do. But Madden trumps them all, and the community recognized that.
Yep, Rocket League got a strong 31%. Again, it's pretty remarkable how, you know, the consumer base that's still playing the game there. After 18, 20 months, whatever it's been now, still very popular, still hundreds of thousands of people on at any given time. It's been a great story. Now, we talked there briefly about the Ultimate Teams, Rich. So let's go to that best team building mode. So this was last year. It was the closest category in terms of percentage votes. This year, it's the closest category in terms of percentage votes, and it's stunningly close. I believe when I looked at the final numbers, I'm going off the top of my head, I think it was 9 votes separating the two, and this is in, I think the average was just under 3,000 votes per category. So it was 42.8% to 42.4%, Rich. And once again, MLB The Show's Diamond Dynasty was the winner, barely edging out Madden NFL 17's Ultimate Team. Really crazy how close those two are. Very easily could have been swapped. But I think with the two of them, what you see is, you know, you're going to have naturally people who gravitate to baseball versus people who gravitate to football, okay? But you also have people who prefer more accessible, maybe simpler, mm-hmm. which was The Show, mm-hmm. and people who prefer content, more cards, more solo challenges, more everything in Madden.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The thing about Diamond Dynasty is that it has taken them a long time to get here. They, when it was originally introduced, it was like nowhere close to what it is now.
It was bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's the most impressive thing here is they started small. I almost think that they kind of didn't even want to do this.
It seemed like it
wasn't in their DNA, but they sort of saw the writing on the wall and realized that, look, you know, we want to be competitive in the overall sports game landscape, and we need to continue to find new ways to generate revenue. So we'll do this. And they started small, and then they built on it. They took their lumps. They invested in the online infrastructure, which is key for this. And, you know, TJ said the other day, like, it's amazing how much better it is now to where it's winning awards for being the best mode. So congratulations to them. And you know what? How fun is it that over time people have come to enjoy a great game in a completely different way? That's the best part about this. Like, as somebody who loves MLB The Show, I have a strong feeling that one of the reasons that I love its gameplay so much and its gameplay is so good is because they've probably been making some extra money the last few years and gotten a few more developers and been able to do some things that they probably weren't able to do until they started to really see some new dollars hit their top line and bottom line. I don't know that. It's a hypothesis, but the game is so tight and so well made, and I think Diamond Dynasty is a reason for that, and I'm glad that it's great, and I'm glad that people like TJ have a Tuesday night show dedicated to it called Bullpen Banter. Maybe it's Monday night.
That's right, yeah.
All I know is on Wednesday nights, he streams Out of the Park Baseball 17. Make sure you watch it on Twitch, 9 p.m. Eastern. But, I mean, how cool is that, right? It's great. I think it's fantastic, and I'm glad that people like it, and I'm glad that it's a mode that has not detracted from the main game, but has actually, in my opinion, made the main game even better.
Yeah, and Diamond Dynasty, really, the last 2 years have been really good. Before that, like I said, it wasn't. They totally kind of rebuilt it conceptually. It wasn't just that it was, you know, an empty or didn't have enough content or anything like that at first. It was just not built the right way. They didn't have a good focus. They didn't have the right vision.
It's hard.
I mean, like, So they were copying, kind of trying to copy the success of an Ultimate Team, but you're putting it into a different sport with a different history, with a different pace. You know, like, it's easy to do quick games or play out these solo challenges in a Madden or a FIFA where you're playing portions or certain scenarios. In baseball, that's harder to do that kind of thing. So they had to come up with their own ways to present that, and then also their own different types of cards and stuff. And as they started to bring in legends and things of that nature, because originally this mode was all like made up players, and then they became MLB players, and now you got legends, and it's more traditional in that sense. It works really well.
Yeah, and it's really difficult to create a mode like this from scratch. It might sound silly, but it's incredibly difficult. There are thousands of details that you have to consider. And especially when you start talking about real world money, that completely changes the game. I mean, look at all the problems that FIFA has had with hackers and thieves stealing money. Like, when you start doing some of the things that these modes involve, it completely changes everything. But even taking that out of the mix, it's a completely different language. If you don't have people on your team who really understand and love these kinds of modes and love and know what is fun about them and what will get people to play them, you know, if you don't have that, it's so hard to make one of these modes work. And it takes time, and it takes mistakes, and it takes learning from the mistakes. And, man, kudos to the MLB guys for doing that, because it would have been easy to just either be cynical and just put a bunch of stuff out there, or it would have been easy to just scrap it all together when they had struggles at first. But they built something good, and they're continuing to build on it.
All right, so a category that isn't necessarily our area of expertise, but we have some experience with, at least, best racing game, which this is the first year we have a category for it, because it's not every year that you get multiple really good racing games. This year there were at least three, probably more if you speak to the real hardcore racing fans, but these three really stood out above the pack. You had Forza Horizon 3, which is a great mix of a sim and arcade game. Gives you a ton of variety in racing with a bunch of different event types and amazing setting of Australia. There's Dirt Rally, which, like Forza, has some arcade elements but leans sim. And, you know, that one is just rally racing. But there's some really thrilling racing involved there because of some great weather effects. And F1 2016, which, you know, really pleased our Hit the Pass contributors because of its authentic nature and its expansive career mode. So in the racing category, I don't think this is going to surprise everyone. It was a landslide. It was Forza Horizon 3. Got 72%. And this is not, again, it doesn't come out of nowhere. Forza Horizon 3 out of this group is easily, it's the widest reaching game. It's the most appealing to the widest audience because it really gets the arcade fans. It also gets the racing enthusiasts. It just kind of hits on, it checks every box for racing fans and people who maybe aren't typically racing fans, like I would say. The other two were more niche. But delivered exactly what those people were looking for. F1 got 19% and Dirt Rally 9%.
I didn't play Dirt Rally. Need to play it. Multiple people have told me to play it. Obviously, F1 is not a game that's going to make it into my rotation. But we know that our respected race fans, Dr. Ken and Greg Stewart, huge fans of it. And Forza Horizon is a great game. It's not just a great racing game. It's just a great game. It's a great game that people who enjoy video games will love. It kind of harkens back to the earlier days of video games when a racing game was a game that anybody would pick up and play and enjoy. Now, it's still complex. It's still deep. And, in fact, it actually lost me, I don't know, about 10 or 12 hours in when I sort of just kind of didn't quite understand exactly where to go or what to do anymore or how to really sort of advance myself, but I'm going to get back into it and play it some more. But even so, for those first 10-12 hours I played, it was spectacular. I loved almost all of it, and it's just it does everything, not everything, it does a lot of things really well and is well deserving of this reward, this award.
And it's downloadable content, which I'm not sure if you played yet, Rich.
I have not.
Yeah. A lot of fun, more limited in turn, you know, it's not going to last you all that long, but very cool to be racing in snow and ice in these really difficult conditions with low visibility. It really changes the feel of the game. I thought that was a neat addition.
Yeah, that's a situation where just because of the very small amount of time that I have to play right now, I'm going to wait for a deal or a sale. And probably the first time that there's like a 50% off, I'm just going to go ahead and grab it because I know I want to play it. I know it's a different experience, and everything I've heard about it has been very positive.
So another one of my personal favorite categories is for best new feature. Now, I really like this category because I find it interesting, the innovation. This is where a lot of the times you'll see innovation is with new features that also differentiate one particular sports franchise from the others. Maybe others will end up copying it, you know, later on, but for now, these are usually things that you're only finding in one of the sports franchises. This year, we got weekly commentary updates for Madden NFL 17, and that was the winner. Voters recognized the effort that went into that from the audio team, recording new lines with the new commentary team. They did it almost every week throughout the season and a couple times in preseason, and now they've been doing it throughout the playoffs. Really cool. I hope they expand on that next year in Madden 18. There's a lot more they can do as far as they've added stuff to Franchise Mode and Ultimate Team, but it doesn't stand out as much as the real-world stuff that's been going into the Play Now and online games. The other features in the mix, NBA 2K17 had the two features mentioned earlier for Franchise Modes. League expansion was the runner-up with 26%. Start today got 15%. Then there were the daily ratings changes from Inside Edge and MLB The Show 16, which to me, I probably would have put number two on my ballot. I thought I did an article about this, and I called it the – it was the reason why Diamond Dynasty was becoming a mode for everyone. And we talk about kind of the intimidation of other modes, other Ultimate Team modes. And I thought Inside Edge on its own almost did exactly what you need to do to get other people involved, because you didn't need the highest rated cards. You could actually find really good performers on a given day because of who was boosted. And it didn't cost you much to get them. And then rounding it out was EA Sports UFC's KO mode, which was really kind of just a display for its physics, where you got in there until you knocked someone out. And it wasn't MMA. It was basically boxing. You were just knocking people out. So a little bit of fun, but not as deep as what these other features offered, Rich.
Well, people sometimes bemoan the lack of innovation, and it's technically true. There's not a lot of big time, easy to spot innovation with these kind of games. But on the other hand, the reason is, as we've talked about, these are short development cycles, and you're building on very mature platforms where doing anything truly innovative is extremely difficult, just from your ability to put together, you know, to compile a game, put it on a disc, or put it in a digital package and ship it out. So I always have tremendous respect when those innovative chances are taken. So that's really what it comes down to. It's so hard to innovate in an established franchise that any and all chances that are taken, I have a lot of respect for, whether they work or not. I mean, that's the whole point of innovation. You know, if you don't try something different, you're going to fail when you do. But if you don't, then you're not really, potentially seeking a new audience for a new way to play your game. So innovating is tough, and that's why this is always such an interesting category.
Yeah, commentary is a tough one. Commentary is really difficult in a lot of games to get right. They're always improving it technologically, bringing new people in, but adding on a weekly basis relevant observations from the commentary team, really cool. And then the other ones I thought are ways that just kind of improve what you've already got there. So that the commentary does for Madden, it improves what you already have there in terms of presentation and enjoying the games. Mm-hmm. And then the other features, league expansion on top, you know, it's another feature on top of everything in my league or my GM. And then mm-hmm. you have Start Today, which is another option.
I use that twice. Like it. Yeah. Like it a lot.
So the question, you know, I think the reason that only got 15% was a lot of people start their seasons, their leagues early on.
Yeah,
before
you couldn't
Start
even use
Today
it
is even relevant.
For the first like 6 weeks after the game came out, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you had to wait until because the game came out 6 weeks before the season started.
Right.
So that feature didn't even, it was irrelevant until November. So I think that's why it got a lower share. Otherwise, I think that would do better. And then, again, I'm a big proponent of the Inside Edge, what they did with that. And then KO mode, again, a fun diversion, I thought.
Yep, agreed. I obviously didn't play UFC, not my thing. Did try or experience all the others. And, I like what NBA 2K did. Liked it a lot. The Madden stuff, you know, we've talked about commentary. I'm not really much into commentary. I don't really care or listen because I'm either on the treadmill listening to podcasts or, you know, I'm playing my online game and just sort of focusing on the game, not the commentary. But, again, I know it's a big thing to a lot of people, and they gave it a good shot, and they were consistent, right? They said they were going to do it, and they did it, and they executed, and they continue to execute. That's the other thing. I mean, how many times are announcements made about how these cool things are going to happen, and then 6 months later no one's saying anything about it, or they fall off even sooner than that? These guys said they were going to do it. They did it all year long. You held them accountable, Brian. You published what they did every month or every week, and they did it. So, you know, well done.
All right. The second to last category is for the best new or non-yearly sports game. So this is a category that looks to recognize the best game that isn't released every year or has never been released before, essentially, because these games typically would not have a chance of winning the best sports game award. Previous winners include Rocket League and the Golf Club, UFC Undisputed 3, EA Sports MMA way back in 2010. So it's an interesting group, and I think you had an interesting group of nominees this year. There was EA Sports UFC 2, which really kind of followed up on the original game, which wasn't very well received because of a number of reasons. Those reasons, they address them pretty well with the sequel, as far as a far deeper roster and gameplay that really respected the sport more so than the original did. Then you had an independent game, which surprised me in how good it was when I reviewed it way back earlier in 2016, Casey Powell Lacrosse 16. And the reason why this one spoke to me was I'm not a lacrosse expert. I live in a part of the United States that does not have a lacrosse following. Lacrosse is typically, I think, northeast and southeast, and maybe sprinkled in other places of America. But it really worked, and they described it as kind of a cross between hockey and basketball, and the controls were kind of comparable to that. And so it was a really kind of accessible game for someone who didn't understand the sport but learned along the way with it. I think that's really important because that's, for many years, FIFA acted as that for me, as I learned the sport through playing FIFA and watching on TV after I started to get into it. And Casey Powell Lacrosse was the first game for this generation of consoles, first lacrosse game, that is. And it got 30%, didn't win, but 30% actually surprised me as far as the support. So that's pretty cool. And then Steep got 23%, which was really the best out of the handful of mountain sports games that seemed to release at the end of the year. Four different ways to get down the mountains in a big open world. But EA Sports UFC 2 was the winner with 47%.
Yeah, fans, we regularly see how fans, oh, I want a new thing. Where did our arcade sports games go? You know, I want a new experience. You know, I will play that. And we see people say that, and then the games come out, and quite often they're not supported in either sales or by critics. So I'm always hopeful that non-yearly games / new games can be successful, because just a larger ecosystem is better for all of us. So I'm always hopeful when I see these new games come out.
There's a bunch actually coming out in 2017, even in the first few months. So that's pretty cool. And we'll, you know, that'll be an interesting one to follow throughout the year. I mean, I already have a list to keep a watch on. I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, this is about time. We got some arcade games coming. We got some, you know, independent developers working on sports that maybe the big publishers would never touch. So, and that's kind of lacrosse is one of those. Very cool. And EA Sports UFC, just again, it's another one of those games that easily outsold the other nominees, and that's probably a big part of why it won. But it was a much better game this year than the first, so I think it's you know, it's a good representative there. Let's move then, Rich, to the big one. We're now to the end. It's the best sports game of 2016. Nominees: MLB The Show 16, NBA 2K17, Madden NFL 17, FIFA 17, Pro Evolution Soccer 2017. Any predictions here, Rich, before I reveal the winner?
No, I'm not going to predict. I'm going to react.
Well, our Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year was MLB The Show 16, which won in a pretty crowded field of competition. You know, there was really no standout game. I've been saying that all along. All the games have their merits. All of them have kind of their deficiencies. And it really comes down to preferences and all of that, more so than this game just was obviously the best. So the winner of the community sports game of 2016 is MLB The Show 16, Rich.
All right. Well deserved.
Yeah. 34% of the vote, and some interesting results here in the category. You know, this is the second community award for Sports Game of the Year for MLB The Show, which also won in 2013. Mm. You know, I've said for a while, I think it's the steadiest game in the genre. You pretty much know what you're going to get every year. They might not exceed expectations greatly, but they're not going to let you down. And I think that's important for a lot of people who are spending their money. It's got great gameplay, of course, it won Best Gameplay earlier. Authenticity, it's very high. Reliable franchise and career modes, and it's got that, you know, the award-winning Diamond Dynasty mode. So 34%, very cool. Congratulations to MLB The Show 16. Now let's talk about the remaining games, Rich. Second place, would you like to make a prediction?
I'll go NBA. Okay.
Second place, Madden NFL 17.
All right. Well, that's a good step up for them historically, if I'm
correct.
It is.
Let me tell you how much of a step up it was, okay? Second place, 31%. So it only lost by 3% here, Rich.
That's
very narrow, very narrow.
Interesting.
That is up 13. I'm sorry. That is up from the 13% it got last year. So it actually rose by 18%. Nice. That's huge. And I think what it is, the clear trajectory that the series as a whole is trending upwards. Right. And I think consumers are starting to recognize that. Madden did well, I thought, by focusing on special teams, where some of the most exciting plays in football happen. They also avoided a reliance on gimmicks, which kind of plagued the series for every now and then over the past decade. So they instead, you know, they went head on with some of the issues, fixed a lot of them. Yeah, it's not a perfect game, but it's fun, and we're enjoying it, and I think a lot of people see it that way.
Agreed.
Then we got, NBA 2K did come in third.
All right.
Okay? Collected 21%. And now we've talked about this in earlier categories, but this is a huge drop-off. So NBA 2K won Sports Game of the Year with NBA 2K16. It also won with 2K15. But from NBA 2K16, that 21% that it got this year, it plummeted from 47% last year when it won. So that's a drop of 26%, and that's really distributed to MLB The Show, which was up 15%, Madden, which was up the 18%. So NBA 2K17's losses made it to those other two games primarily. I thought that's interesting, and it reflects what we saw in the voting, really a consistency in the voting, which I thought was interesting across all categories, even the ones that 2K won, it was down in.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I'm not concerned overall. They're back on a full 12-month development schedule this year.
That's a good point too. They are, even though they're going to release in September. Now they have the full cycle, which could make a difference.
And I have faith that they are going to. And again, from a sales perspective, from a commercial perspective, NBA 2K by all accounts has done just fine. Right, so. This is more of...
Oh, yeah. That's not a concern.
Right. So this is not a... this is just, you know, the educated community saying, hey, we didn't think your game was quite as good this year as it has been in the past. I am pretty confident that our friends over there have taken a lot of the constructive feedback that they've gotten to heart.
Mm-hmm.
We all know they know what they're doing very well. And so I think they're going to... going to take this feedback and pump it into what will hopefully be, you know, a quote unquote comeback, you know, a comeback from a team that, you know, instead of winning the championship, you know, lost in the conference finals or something like that. You know, this is by
my perspective.
Exactly. When you set the bar that high and you are not perceived to achieve that high bar, you know, whether you truly think you did or not, if the perception is that you did not achieve that high bar, these are things that happen. You can't go up every single year, right? At a certain point in time, whether it's self-inflicted or whether it's others exceeding you, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs.
Yeah, I think I made the comparison in my review of NBA 2K17 to, might have been to the Warriors, actually, because there was a big Steph Curry theme to the game this year, but might have been to the Warriors that, you know, they won the championship, you know, then they come back and they have to take on the Cavs and they don't get over that, you know, they don't get over the hump there. The Cavs come back from 3-1, of course, and then it's all, you know, it's like a wasted season. That's how it feels, right? And, you know, you look at Madden comparatively, and that game maybe exceeded expectations, which were lower, and got a lot of credit for it in the voting. So it's just the ebb and flow of year-to-year sports games, I think.
You know, and I just wonder, I have no idea whether this has anything to do with it, but from the perception of the community, did the release in September alter how people felt about it? Because it wasn't the NBA season yet, and maybe they just didn't feel the juice. Now, again, we're not talking about what some of the core, you know, sim heads had issues with the game. There were definitely things that needed to get fixed and updated, and there were a bunch of patches to the game. I'm not talking about that, but I'm also just talking about, as I mentioned, just coming out in a different time in the teeth of the other releases. Mm-hmm. When it's the basketball season hasn't even started. I don't think the preseason had even started.
No.
I wonder if that might have also had a little bit of something to do with this as well. Not sure, but I certainly didn't have the same sense of excitement when the game came out that I typically did, because when it used to come out, it would come out a month or so after the other games were no longer brand new, right? So it was like, oh, cool. Here's now another cool new thing that's sleek and sexy in NBA 2K that would come out 4, 5, 6 weeks later. That may or may not have had anything to do with this.
Well, it's also it also had been the last game. So a lot of times there's a carryover, and I wonder if it's not like, well, I got tired of NBA 2K and moved on. Like, maybe you hit that point earlier because of that, because FIFA came out after it, or you bought, you know, one of the many big games that come out at the end of October or in early November, or you pick something up on Black Friday. A lot of reasons why, you know, maybe those 2 to 3 weeks that it comes out earlier now might impact it later in the year. You know, we're not worried about its sales. It's doing fine. It's selling great. But
top
there's
five.
An impact there that we might be, you know, discovering a trend of. One other interesting note on this, Rich, which I thought was, I didn't realize it until earlier tonight, actually, as I was writing up my recap. There's a direct correlation between Sports Game of the Year and Best Gameplay Award, Rich. Mm. In 6 of 7 years, the game to win Best Gameplay has also gone on to win Best Sports Game.
That shows you that the people who vote in these categories, which are the people who really, really, really love sports games, and to some degree, sports games are an important part of their lives. Like, they are for me, and they are for mm-hmm. you, right? I'm not ashamed to, you know, talk about how sports video games have positively impacted my life in ways I never would have expected, right? Not only have I been able to, you know, to some degree make a living because of the existence of sports video games, but I have made dozens of friendships, you know, including you and me, based upon this. And so just the overall genre of these games is something that's really impactful. And those people who hold these games to high esteem value the core experience more than anything else, and they value the core experience as that's what the ultimate judge is of these games. If when they're pitching or when they're batting or when they're passing or when they're shooting or when they're tackling, if that feels right, if that looks right, if their strategies and tactics that they're employing are legitimate strategies and tactics that the real coaches and the real players execute in the real games, that beats everything else. And I think that's exactly what this is. These are smart people who are voting these awards. These are people who love real sports and people who love sports video games. And the closer that these games get to emulating the real world, the more these folks appreciate it. And that's, I think, exactly why you see that direct correlation mm-hmm. between gameplay and Game of the Year.
All right, final tally. Different than the last 2 years when NBA 2K won Best Sports Game, where NBA 2K won, I believe, 5 categories each year, and the next highest was 2 or 1. It was a much more of a spread this year. MLB The Show 16 and Madden NFL 17 tied for most wins with 3 each. Of course, MLB The Show got the biggest. NBA 2K17 came away with 2 awards. FIFA 17, EA UFC 2, Forza Horizon 3, and Photo Finish Horse Racing walked away with a single win. So congrats to everybody involved with those games or those specific features or whatever it might be. You know, people out there, we appreciate the work you're putting in. And we love to bring attention to that. So thank you, Rich Grisham, for joining me as we went through the 2016 Pasta Butter Community Awards. We will be back with another episode of the Press Row Podcast next week. Take care, everyone.